or anything on that?
Well, the biggest thing, if you think of it from a military perspective, a true military perspective, not the ones that get up there and do the local calls and, you know, like, oh, I'm General so-and-so and I'm going to talk a talking point and, you know, we're doing everything we can to control Putin and that. That's not real. The sad part of it is we're finding out there is a political arm as well as a, excuse me, a political arm, but also a PR PR arm of the military. Mm-hmm. So you've got, you know, the political stuff that's going on, the political infighting, that then you have the PR who's trying to shine up a turd and it just doesn't make any sense. And so the problem is when you look at how the Ukraine thing happened, well, you go back to the origins of this and there's nothing unique about what's going on in that area, because here's the problem. Ukraine was actually like Russia's motherland. Like you think of it as like their Bethlehem. But then after World War II, well, not after World War II, but after Russia fell, the USSR fell, the UN went in and decided to cut out these different countries all along the Mediterranean right there. Because what they were trying to do is limit Russia's access to a seaport. And they didn't want them to be able to bring their oil out through there and then to be able to sell it globally. So they were trying to make it to where they were strangling Ukraine, strangling Russia by taking away Ukraine and those states along, or those, you know, they were states at that time, those countries along the Mediterranean, things like that. So go back that far. Then you start looking going forward. And then Putin comes in, and Putin's a lot like Trump is. He believes in his country. He believes his country is the best. And yes, he knows that there are some fights you want to fight and some fights you don't want to fight. Well, and this is not Putin going in there and being selfish. Mm-hmm. Was it 70% or 80% of all Ukraine speaks Russian? So, and then the other is actually a dialect, separate dialect of Russia. It's Russian. It's actually very close. Mm-hmm. So it's not like completely out of the realm to say that this entire country is Russian. And then they've had Crimea, which is this little port down, those little country down by the ocean there. They've had a seaport there. There's other parts of Ukraine that have actually defected out of Ukraine. Like they literally have like, hey, we're not listening to you anymore. So they broke up Ukraine into these smaller states, and then these little smaller states, along the southern border and some others that, and then the western border have detached already. They were already gone. Even though they show the line going around them, it hasn't been that way. It's these, they've already detached away from it, that Russia's already taken, gone in and started supplying them with government and those kind of things. So that's the history of it. That's the way back stuff. That's not even stuff that's like, they're not even trying to talk about right now. So you say, oh, we're going to attack. They're saying Ukraine or Russia's going to attack. Well, remember when this all started, they said Russia is, you know, firing missiles along the Ukrainian border. Well, no, they were playing war games along the Ukrainian border, and they were firing weapons along the Ukrainian border, but they weren't firing into Ukraine. They weren't firing along the border. They were firing along the border. See, they were play on words, right? Sounds like they're firing into the country. They weren't. They're playing along the border. They're playing war games. So all that being said, you have misinformation there. Well, then the people that are actually fighting right now in Ukraine are not military. Mm-hmm. Don't get that conflated, because people want to say, they're struggling so hard to fight against the Russians. They're not actually fighting against the Russians, and it's not the Ukrainian military doing it. It's the MS-13. The situation in Ukraine is not the military. The military is not really doing anything. And remember, when they talk about these Russian military vehicles being confiscated by farmers, and they've got this video of this farmer taking this military vehicle down through the streets and all that. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, Russia supplied them with all of their military equipment. It's going to be Russian equipment. So how easy is it to say, oh, well, look at this. They've confiscated a Russian equipment, and this farmer is taking this personnel carrier away. And that's Ukrainian equipment they bought from Russia. It's Russian equipment. It's just got, all they got to do is change on a stencil, put a red star on it. Now it's Russian or whatever their symbol is. So this is the part, I guess that's China does a red star. So the problem is that the amount of misinformation, the amount of stuff they're doing, like they were showing, I had this compilation I was watching the other day of a guy going around they were showing a propaganda photo of this guy who's, he's got his backpack and he's got his, you know, stocking cap on. He's sitting on the curb and he's, you know, looking all like he's mournful that he's heading off to the war. And there was all these, it looked very like you could see what they were trying to take a picture of, this guy sitting on a curb on a sidewalk. But then there's all this media all standing around smoking cigarettes, doing whatever. And they're trying to, and this chick's doing all this like close up on this guy and trying to get this dramatic effect of him going off to the military. He wasn't. He was just a guy sitting on the curb. But they were trying to make it as propaganda to say that all the youth is going to turn themselves in so they can become part of the military. Well, first of all, let's say they did that. Let's say today you went down and registered to be a Ukrainian Army regular. Okay. You're 6 months to a year before you could ever get to the battlefield.
Yeah.
Ever. And say that you're going to be battle ready just because you're walking down there and signing up. Yes, sir. But it looks good on paper. But then I watched on Rachel Maddow, that guy has that show on MSNBC, and she looks more like a guy every day. It's ridiculous. Her Adam's apple and her long neck really throws me off. But she used to be beautiful. There was a different time. Anyway, so as I'm looking at that, I happened to click on it. This was in San Diego. I went ahead and clicked on it to see what was going on. They had a roving reporter, and the roving reporter was over there at a train station. Well, it's like 3:30 in the morning and there's only standing room only here at the train station waiting for the first train to get out of Ukraine. All right, let's show that. And they turn around and there's like 20 people standing there. One guy's over there laughing at the camera. And it's like, what are you doing? And he's like, yeah, there's only standing room only here on the boardwalk. We're waiting on the train to show up. And there's been people here all night long waiting to reach this, you know, get on this. Well, he actually gave away part of the story that they had been there because the train stops there, but then the train leaving the country doesn't come until the morning. So the people that were waiting there were the people who knew they had a layover. But he was making it out to be like there was this whole thing and these people rushing the borders. And then I happened to catch another piece where another guy was going to the gates where they go out of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go down these long, you know, fenced alleys to get to the part where you show your passport to go across the border. There have been people here lined up, you know, all day and all night. And there's like 3 people there. And I'm like, are they just listening to your words and not paying attention to the video that you're showing? Like, how bad is this? So in all the stuff they're doing, they're telling you the truth, but when you listen to the words, and see, I've always been one that watches a movie to catch the tire tracks in the old Western. You know, in the dirt, you know, I've always been the one that catches the, you know, I look at the background more than the person talking. And I guess that's just a thing I've always done. Well, when you watch the news now and you watch how things really look and listen, not what they're saying, it changes things. So I'm looking at this 20 people standing on the boardwalk here waiting for the train to show up. And I'm like, this is not a crowd, buddy. But also the media was telling us and the White House. And whether you believe that's real or not, because Joe's on a movie stage. So don't pay attention to that. I mean, they're honestly telling you he's on a movie stage.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is talking about countries being next to countries. And that's how countries work when they're next to countries. Anyway. So.
Or the passage of time. The significance of the passage of time.
Yeah.
The significance of the passage of time.
I got stuck on that. She's like. Just the loop kept coming back and like a passage of time.
Like a broken record. And you're like, is he broke?
Yeah. Well, it was like, remember that that girl who was going for Miss America and she kept going and such. Do you remember that? That cassette that's sounded like what Kamala was going through. She was had a brain lock. You know, she didn't know how to get off of the passage of time. But they told us back in the beginning of this whole thing a couple months ago. Oh, there's going to be 5 million refugees coming out of Ukraine. How do you know that? How do you know there's going to be 5 million people? So let's go back to this whole thing. So they're telling me this. They're saying those as mass exodus of people leaving. There's not. The Russians have gone in. Now, our government over the last 2 months has had to admit that there is 24 biolabs that we built, staffed, and still fully fund. Oh, wait, what are they doing in those biolabs, Jim? I don't know. Fetal tissue harvesting. They're going in and they're taking the fetal tissue and harvesting that for the fetal tissue that went into the vaccines. So this is where they were getting the fetal tissue from. Think about it. You're coming up with billions and billions and billions of doses. Supposedly there's been like, you know, 8 billion doses produced, which is unbelievable to ramp that up in a short time. But let's say this is, you know, okay, we're going to lie to ourselves a little bit. This is real. But the fetal tissue, they were getting that all from Ukraine. See, Ukraine and China are right next to each other. Again, it's real easy to start following the supply chain. China is the number one producer of pharmaceuticals in the world. We get 98% of all of our pharmaceuticals from China. We are so tied to them for our health reasons. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So anyway, so then we find out there's 24 of these that we fully fund, but there are 48 biolab and pharmaceutical companies in Ukraine, and Pfizer and Moderna and all these other, you know, AstraZeneca and all these other dumb named companies, they're all in there. They all have a office, a manufacturing facility in Ukraine. And then we go and we see Joe Biden and we see Hunter Biden and we see that there are connections there and the Burisma and all the Burisma going on. And then we find out that the pipeline that we were buying oil from Russia at $22 million a day is the pipeline that goes to Ukraine. Well, because it goes to Ukraine, Ukraine gets a taste. They get to tax all the oil coming through there. So as we're hurrying and buying as much oil as we can from Russia, as much as comes to that pipeline, Ukraine's getting some money to launder back to the people that are buying through that pipeline. It's all of this, everything that we're seeing is absolutely, at the end of the day, greed, selfishness. It's all tying back to people wanting a little bit more than what they should have. They're not being selfless leaders. They're not being servant leaders. These are people who are literally just only in this for their gain. And why would we want a multimillionaire, 140 millionaire Nancy Pelosi, who's never had a civil job before? She's the only thing she's ever done is worked in the government as an elected official. Yeah. Why are we still electing that lady? Why is she the Speaker of the House? But again, it's all about that manipulation, right? So anyway, back to Ukraine. So then we go down, we find out about the 48 different pharmaceutical and bio labs that are in Ukraine. Then we find out that it's the street gangs that are going around and killing people, literally. Mm-hmm. Military men, they look like they're military. They're dressed up in military. They're going around and executing people. Then we have the misinformation of the maternity ward being bombed.
Yeah.
Oh, the maternity ward was bombed. Well, first of all, the maternity ward was shut down 20 years ago. It was an abandoned building. And the gangs were using the maternity ward as a sniper's nest. And they were executing people on the street. And so what did they do? Well, they went in and they shot a missile into there, RPG, and killed the guys in the little sniper's nest. Now, how is that a bad thing? You're killing civilians and you're making it sound like the Russians are doing it. But see, this is this whole misinformation. You have to wiggle all the way through all this. And it gets so exhausting to say that you have to do this and you have to live this way. And it's like, why? Why can't you just be honest and let us make decisions from there? Why does it have to be the constant lie, the money laundering? So John Kerry, Mr. You know, Horseface himself, he's got a kid that's on an energy board. We have Nancy Pelosi has a nephew that's on an energy board there. We have, you know, Potato in Chief, his son's working there, the big guy. And then we have, what was the other one? There's one guy that's slipping my mind here. Mitt Romney, Mr. Half impeachment, half not impeachment. Yeah, we won't forget that one, Mitt, but he's got a kid. One of his kids is on an energy board there. Well, no wonder he flip-flops all over the place if he's getting money out of Ukraine. So again, then we have John Kerry not only has a kid that's on a Ukrainian energy board, but his daughter is married to an Iranian general. So John Kerry's daughter, who he's been in high levels of government, is married to an Iranian general. I mean, how much more incestuous can this be? And people are like, Ukraine, unity. Let's give money to UNICEF and Red Cross. And no, don't do that. I got mad. I had the Uber app on my phone because I was traveling, and I was in Florida at CPAC, and so I Ubered around, and I get a, like right after I got back, I get a notification. I'm like, what is, you know, and like. oh, give money to, you know, send money to Ukraine through Uber. And I'm like, why would I give you any more money than I already have? And no, I'm not sending money to Ukraine. This is like, no, don't do that. But there's dummies out there that they think that this is like some social justice warrior effect where they're going to do that. So, but if you go back, like I said, like the whole idea of the optics of this and the military force of this in America, we walk through Iraq and Afghanistan in a minute. Like it didn't take us any, like we went through Iraq. We literally were, the only thing that was slowing us down was the speed of the tanks. That's the only thing that kept, we were only able to go 40 miles an hour on tanks. We were literally not, we were met with zero resistance. You think that Russia going into Ukraine is somehow stifled by the, I mean, the, supposedly the first day there was 2,800 Russian deaths. Where'd all those dead bodies go? Where did all that happen? When did that skirmish go down? Yeah. But again, this is just the false narrative. It's the false push. I had a Gold Star wife on my show yesterday, and we talked about how the military covered up her husband's death, and that somebody with was a lieutenant colonel and a colonel, full board colonel, were covering up what really happened and their wrongdoing and sending these guys in there unprepared. And there's a whole, like the guy below them got, he was kicked out of the military. They took his, they really demonized the guy. And he was on maternity leave with his wife and kids. So he wasn't even service. He was on quote unquote vacation, right? He got discharged because of the things that happened in the mission, but he wasn't even involved. But the guy who directly made the orders has now been promoted. And it's really sick to see that we can be lied to about our own military and the things that go on in the Green Beret being shot in the field and can't get the right story out. So why would we think that they're not going to lie to us on this? They are lying to us on this whole thing. They're lying to us about the presence of what's going on. The video game company had to sue CNN so they would take down the video of the Phantom Kiev Phantom killer that was this jet fighter that was killing off all these Russian planes. It was actually, again, there wasn't any Russian plane shot down, and there was no Phantom of Kiev because it was video game footage. And they had to sue two different outlets. CNN was one of them. And I can't remember what the other one was. To tell them to stop putting this video out there. That's our video game footage. Stop. And then the other one was that they were actually showing, like, it was supposed to be Kiev. It was actually Beirut. They've actually shown where it was actually footage from Beirut, and it's not from Kiev. But they're reusing, and so what I tell your listeners, go watch the movie Wag the Dog. It's an older movie.
Yes, that is an awesome movie.
But it will tell you exactly what's going on in Ukraine, almost verbatim. I mean, it is sickening how verbatim it is. And then if you really want to wake up, go watch Wag the Dog and then watch Matrix right after it. And then come back and tell me what's going on in the world around. Because it starts melting your brain after a while. But Wag the Dog is about a movie producer who thinks that, you know, he's going in trying to do some patriotic duty, help the military. He thought it was like a campaign and all this other stuff. In reality, they were trying to church up a war that wasn't existent. And they want to do that because that's how they make money and how they keep the military with extra this and that. And so it's sad that we, you know, and then they kill the guy at the end. He was the useful idiot they used. And then at the very end, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but sorry about that. Have you seen the clip? I'm so damn mad and I'm not taking it anymore. Have you seen that movie clip?
No.
There's actually a movie clip, and it's actually the scary part of it is actually, it's a very relevant movie to,
Well, I know another movie that's good to watch, particularly what we're seeing, is the movie Dave, about the guy who pretends to be the president, the body double for him, because after the real president, like, has the heart attack when he's in bed with, like, the hooker or whatever and stuff. So I'm like, that's another movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, like I said, this stuff has kind of been in front of us for all these years. It's just a lot of people haven't known that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what they do.
Well, that's right. And this is I'm going to try to find this clip for you. But this movie, Okay. Oh, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore. And, and so this is from, and this, the thing is this movie is actually, let's see if I can play this here for you.
Depression. Oh, everybody's out of,
this, I want you. And I just, so can you hear that video?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So in reality, so it's from the movie Network, and it was made in 1976. If you watch the movie, it is actually really kind of crazy in the idea that how it really fits in today. I mean, in 76, they were just coming out of the petrodollar being us off the silt. We were at the silver standard level up to 1971. And then we went to the petrodollar, which was completely unbacked only but by the fact that all petro purchases globally were with the U.S. dollar. And so that's what kept us relevant in that time. But here at the end of the day, so it's called Network. Look it up. And it is a, if you look it up, just be prepared. It's a bit of a, it'll melt your brain because this guy is a newscaster, right? But
is he the one that screams, this is the illusion, when people are clapping for him at one scene? I don't know. I've seen him. Okay. Yeah, when he's no, we're the illusion. This is the illusion. Okay. Yeah. That's the movie. It's from it on,
and they're just showing you how much of a lemming the people are. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, no, we're the illusion. This is the illusion.
Yeah. And if you watch it, Network 1976, and you watch it through, and it's a little bit racy because there's a part of it when there's like the Black Panthers kind of get involved and how they were creating. They were planning to execute a guy like on live camera. And then these guys were going to take the fall for it. And if you start looking at a lot of the stuff we're seeing, like the whole George Floyd thing where he never died and they had 5 funerals and 4 different caskets and 5 different states. I mean, I've never heard of a dignitary having that many funerals or movements or caskets. But anyway, you look at George Floyd, his parents got paid $15 million that we know of. That was what was in the GoFundMe that went straight to his parents. We know that the kids got scholarship. He's got a couple of kids that are his or whatever, never seen him before, but they're his. They've got college scholarships. They're lined up for them to have, paid for education. So again, we have a situation where it fit the narrative, right? It fit the narrative to be able to create destruction the way they wanted to create the narrative that we need to burn down the inner cities and all this other stuff. And you watch that movie Network and George Floyd will make more sense to you. It's crazy that's our world though. And it's real.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing in the Ukraine. I've seen the pictures and images and a lot of them, if you like back search them, I forget the term, send it over the internet and you can find ones that they've used from like years before, video footage, same thing. One of the images I was just telling someone today, that I saw on Fox News was of a little stuffed animal in a bush, and behind it was like a bit, it was like a blown up building or what was supposed to be. And right. What I found interesting is the stuffed animal was completely clean, had no soot, no dirt, no anything. It was facing right at a perfectly direct angle to the camera, and it was right there perfectly cemented in the bushes, but everything else around it had soot and stuff. And I'm like, that was totally staged. That does not physically happen. That was totally staged. To elicit an emotional response from people, to get at the emotions, just like false flags and stuff, trying to get people together and stuff. And oh, but when in that reality, you're just being led down the exact path that the deep state wants you to go down. Your emotions are not your own. They're ones that the deep state elicits. So that way you'll believe whatever they tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And that's the sad part of it, is we have so many of these people that are running out for this stuff. They're like seeking out. I'm like, why are you seeking this out? Why do you want this so bad? And again, I go back to the human nature of things. So the human nature of things, so it says, you know, okay, listen, I want it to be someone else's fault. I don't want to be mine. And so if I follow what the government says, then I can't be wrong. It was the government that was wrong. But how, if we lived our life more, and I've, because of the establishment moves that they've played on me and the things I've had to deal with in my life, and knowing that I've faced the no-knock warrants, I've had the newspaper articles, I've had all this stuff happen to me, and all these things go on and on and on. Okay, I've had to live by faith. And because they took away my security clearances, I worked for the DOD for 17 and a half years as a private contractor. I designed the system to keep them safe. I kept the system safe. I knew how to keep their secrets secret. And not the ones and zeros, but all the physical infrastructure, blast proofing, bulletproofing, all that stuff. And I lose my security clearances. I lose my job. They start writing news articles about me. I start losing my social groups. I start losing my friends. I'm now having to, you know, live off my savings and sell my, I had antique cars and stuff like that, hot rods and stuff. And so I had to start selling things off to keep myself afloat. And then here comes the attorney fees. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, over $100,000 up to almost $200,000 I've spent defending myself so that I could become a felon because of a digital scale in my drawer. So this is the problem. I went through all this stuff because they want to come after me and they want to destroy me. And not because I deserved it, but because they wanted to get rid of me. It was easier to, you know, to destroy me and do that. So I always say the analogy is that it's easier to kill you than deal with you. And I've seen their plans to suicide me. The marshals have showed me their paperwork. They showed me the text messages. Jim Price cannot win. Take him out. 3 days later, there's a no-knock warrant on my house. They're battering ram. And they're in my house. Wow. The SWAT team with lasers, you know, laser pointed at my forehead, the whole thing. So when you have nothing left, when they've taken away everything, they've taken away your dignity, they've taken away, you know, you're just trying to survive. You have nothing but faith left. So I get to live life by faith. And I say get to, because people are like, no, I want to live my life. Well, if I'm letting God make my own decisions for me, if I'm letting him open the doors, then how can I be wrong? Seriously. But too many people want to default to government is their God, that when the government opens a door for them, they can walk through it. No, how about if you live life through faith, through God, and believe that God will take care of you and God is the answer to things. And think of how amazing that would be to live in that life. And it's not that I had to be torn down to nothing to get to this point. So it's not an easy process, right? I mean, I had to go through the, you know, the points of, you know, of depression and anxieties and lack of sleep and staring out the window, waiting for the next raid. I mean, it wears on you. It gets to your soul. And there was some things, that you could do that, you know, people stepped in for me and did different things. And it was great to have them there. Mm-hmm. But, when you have nothing left but faith, it is an easier way to live. But too many people want, well, the government, if they're, you know, they're making my decisions and if they're wrong, then it's on them. No, that God never said that. You should, God always tells you to live as a free man. God tells you not to live in fear. You know, I mean, he gives you all kinds of these commandments to tell you, you should never look to the government. You should always look to yourself, and only answers come from God. But yet we run around and we're like, oh no, you know, Ukraine, like that's a stereotypical. What happened to all the Mexican beer flu stuff going on? The Omicron, you know, Delta variant that's supposedly out now or whatever. And I mean, I don't know. We've got to be better. We got to be better stewards of our time and better about how we're doing this.
I know. they've just kept kind of bombarding us with one thing after another, whether it's COVID and now everybody's scared the threat of a nuclear war. And then everybody's scared of like rising prices and stuff. So it's kind of just all these things across the board. And they just keep having to try to keep people in fear and stuff because they don't want us to realize what they're doing behind the scenes. And that all of the fear is just pantomime anyways. It's like, because they know that they're in control and stuff. So that's why with this like white hat versus like deep state war that's going on, I mean, that's why we're seeing a lot of this, because like I said, the white hats have been working, obviously, you know, like I said, for a long time. They are, because they're trying to fight back against the deep state, because only one side here is going to win. So I mean, it's a casino royale. Like Juan O'Savin said, I mean, it's winner take all on this one.
There will be a reset, guys. Yeah. And we're not going to get out of this without some more pain. There is pain coming. Yeah. And there will be, the currency reset should be happening here by the end of May, where we will see the crash of the US dollar. That's when we should see the QFS come in, the quantum financial system come in, yeah, to where there's only a limited amount of cash, that is actually distributed. So that way it maintains that value. You're not able to go out there and just wildly print up another $1.5 trillion yeah spending bill. But this
because
is
the petro, cause the petrodollar, I mean, that's already going away with China and Saudi Arabia, like taking the, and then like Russia only taking, I think, the rupee in some places. So it's like they're already starting to drop it. And
dollars. September last year, Russia decoupled from it. China's decoupled. Then there's Saudi Arabia. So the thing is that, yeah, there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of indicators that we're doing the right thing and things are going the right direction, but there will be some headache and heartache coming up, but we can't forget to be the right people at the right time. It's an amazing time to be alive right now. This is great, but we have to be the right people, be those people that don't go out and there's okay. Now there's two parts of this. So I always like coaching. I coached wrestling with my kids for 12 years. And so I always liked wrestling because you're usually the same weight, same age, same experience.
Yeah.
And it's only you and the other guy. So there's not a lot of other input. Right. And so you have to learn how to win and you have to learn how to lose because you're not going to always win. I mean, some kids are very, very lucky that they win a lot of their stuff, but the ability to lose well as the ability to win well, to really define you. And if we get out there, we're boastful and act like jackasses, well, then they're not going to look at us the same, right? They're going to look, well, you guys are, but if we learn how to come out of this and really be tempered in our spirit, and we could be amazing. Yeah. And that's what we got to do. We got to be those amazing people in this time. So.
It's like, we're going to win the battle, but maybe lose some of the wars, whatever the phrase is, like you win the battle, but you lose the war, something basically meaning we're going to have to go through them. We're going to win in the end, but it's like some suffering that we're going to see with particularly hyperinflation and stuff.
You'll have your skirmishes here and there. Well, the hyperinflation, I think, will only be momentary. I think when we go back, we reset a lot of this stuff will all normalize back. But right now you're seeing the death of an animal, and the death of an animal is the most terrifying thing at the end, because it's doing everything it can to create as much damage as it can. So they know they're going out. They know they're not coming around for the future. They know that they're going to get moved on. But how do they create as much havoc between now and then? And also, listen, if we're poor losers or poor winners, and we don't have ourselves really focused on what the future is going to be and making sure it's going to be in the right place, it will be worse. We will not have won. Even if we win, it won't be a win because our hearts weren't in the right place. Yeah. We'll just be as bad as the people we defeated. So we have to be mindful of those things.
Yep. Just moving forward and remembering the truth that we have, and just remember to continue making the world a better place, even on the other side of this. Because even when a lot of this stuff is done, it's like, it'll be great that it's done, but it's like, we got a lot of work to remake a lot of this stuff on the other side. And it's like, hey, it's a lot of work, but I'm like, hey, we're all going to be working together. So.
And that's the crazy part of it. Coming together. How easy is that? If anything, they taught us with the whole pandemic stuff, the Mexican beer flu, they told you to stay away from each other. Well, that's what we should be doing, is coming closer together.
Yeah.
They told us to stop talking. We should talk more. They told us that, you know, stay away from the churches. We should be in the church. I mean, and I think a lot of our churches failed us when we needed them the most. A lot of these pastors did not step up in the right way. They should not have lived in fear, and they knew better than that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully on the other side, when a lot of this stuff has been done and stuff in the next year, however long and stuff it takes, hopefully there'll be a lot of other pastors, good pastors, who can come in and take these bad ones places. It's like, we don't want the bad ones. You can go off and do something else. We want actually men of God who are actually going to stand up and going to stand for the truth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it has been the wheat and the tares growing at the same time, right? That's one of the things biblically we talk about is that, you know, Jesus talked about it being, no, let the wheat and the tares grow together. At the end, I will harvest them, and they will be torn away. But we have to understand that there will be bad and good right next to each other. Yeah. But we have to be discerning. We have to be the ones that understand that we got to be the right people. And think about how a single candle in the darkest room is the most brilliant, bright thing ever. And if all you got to be is a little bit of a flicker of a candle, I mean, and you can bring that much light to the darkness. Imagine if we were all doing that and all coming together, how bright and how brilliant that would be. How much darkness we could push back. But again, if we're hiding, you know, we're hiding our, you know, candle under a bushel or our light under a bushel. That's the childhood song, right? We talk about, should you hide it under a bushel? No. Well, why are we hiding in this time right now? We could be the strongest and most brilliant light that everybody sees in this time.
Yep. Be the light. That's a great end note. Be the light.
I mean, it's not that hard of an analogy.
It is.
But yep. People get, we want to make it sound like there's some complicated answer that's all algebra we don't know. No, we just need to be the right, just be good, be you, be the right people.
It's exactly. Great. Be ourselves and just help other people. That's what we're all supposed to do as Christians, and that's just what we're supposed to do as people.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. No, it's been good.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, Jim. It's always great having you on, like I said, and obviously talking about the Ukraine updates and stuff. And I'd say I'll definitely probably have you back on within the next couple months, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to talk about.
Did you have any other questions about Ukraine? I hope I answered most of that. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was just more. Actually, it was a great kind of history, because I didn't know exactly all the intricacies and stuff of like the Ukraine stuff. I just, of course, know that like Putin, we're rooting for Putin. Yay!
Yeah.
Putin.
George Soros came out and said that George Soros, he doesn't like Putin. It's like, oh no, Putin's my buddy. You know, like if George Soros doesn't like him, yeah. I love him. You know, you have to look at it in that way. And again, and there's not going to be any nuclear holocaust. Okay. Listen, if you set off one bomb, they're all going to go off.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be extinct. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to rule over a pile of ashes. I mean, maybe they think they can, maybe they think that's going to happen, but the winter darkness or the nuclear winter that would happen afterwards would kill all the vegetation on Earth. And it would be, it would be a mess. So, and then
the deep state wants that probably more so now, because they know they're going down and stuff, and they keep the good guys. They like other military, they keep getting them. So it's like, they're probably going to try to take everybody down. But I'm like, I have a feeling that President Trump and President Putin and Z and all the other ones, and I'm just like, no, we're not going to let that happen. It's like, no, we're not going to let that happen.
Well, I'm going to be so I'm flying out to Phoenix tomorrow. I don't know when you're airing this, but today is the 23rd of March, and I'm flying to Phoenix. I'm going to speak at a rally on Saturday for a border rally and Phoenix, nice. But then I'm flying to West Palm Beach next week, because I'll be having dinner with Trump on Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
So I got invited.
Wow.
Yeah. I got invited to dinner, so I'm going to be there. And so yeah, that's going to be kind of a neat little thing. That's kind of
cool. Who knows? Maybe you'll learn some things that maybe we won't learn about for a while. You may get a little bit more of the inside scoop on what's. Oh darn! I'm so jealous. Like everybody, like it's like, oh man.
Yeah. No, and I feel so lucky to do it. You know, and it was. When I went to CPAC, I met a few of the congressional candidates and different things like that. And so I was able to get invites with them. And so it was kind of nice. It was kind of validation. And I think of it as, you know, I'm honored by it. And I think it's a great thing. So I'm looking forward to it. So I'll be doing that next week. And so thank you for having me on your show. This was great. I always enjoy
it. It's always great to have you on, Jim. Like I said, always, always, always a pleasure.
Pretty good. All right. Well, thank you so much. And anyway, so I guess that's it for me. Oh, Jim Price. TheJimPriceShow.com is my website, or my email is JimPrice@TheJimPriceShow.com.
Hello, fellow patriots, and thank y'all for watching today's episode. I would also like to thank the sponsor for this episode today, Advanced Home Pros. Solar energy has likely never been more popular than it is right now because of many Americans wanting to get off the grid away from the deep state power companies. AHP is the highest rated and most reviewed in Utah County and has unparalleled customer service. The founder of AHP, Steve Cloward, is a personal friend of mine, and he is a fantastic, true-blooded patriot to work with. If you would like to know more about solar energy and how it can power your home, go to advancedhomepros.com and mention Hannah with the Red Patriot.
Patriot Show to talk with an expert today. There are so many amazing Patriot businesses, and we all need to support them so that together we can defund the deep state and refund the kingdom. Until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood Patriot, Hannah, signing off. And remember, stay encouraged. Thank you for watching The Red Patriot Show. To find more of my content, resources, and where you can find all of my video platforms, as well as all the social media outlets I use, go to www.theredpatriotshow.com. That's www.theredpatriotshow.com. See y'all later.